That's pianist John Davis from his CD John Davis Plays Blind Tom. Blind Tom was the stage name of Thomas Green Wiggins, a blind black pianist born into slavery in 1849. Colonel James Neal Bethune, a respected lawyer and newspaper editor in Columbus, Georgia, bought Blind Tom and his family and ran their lives. Geneva Handy Southall is the author of Blind Tom, the black pianist composer continually enslaved. She told me how Blind Tom's remarkable musical career began.
The sounds interested him. All kinds of sounds, storms, rain, the water dripping, the churning, everything. And so when he heard the piano playing, he began to search until he found himself at the piano. And what happened is one day they had a program, and that night they heard this piano going, and they just assumed it was one of the girls playing. And they went down and found out it was Tom. He was playing what he had heard.
How old was he then?
He was about 4.
So a natural talent in some ways, at least.
Yeah, so what happened is when they discovered that, then they began to teach him. It was kind of like seeing what he could learn, and it was a fun thing for the children. And so by the time he was 5 or 6, he had been, you know, taught by one of the daughters. And then they realized he was of interest in the neighborhood, as you call it. And so Bethune would take him into his office. He got a piano and put in his law office. And Columbus, Georgia at that time was a very big cultural center. The showboats would come, and they'd be bringing in all the top artists in the country at that time. And so every time a pianist or someone of note came in, they would bring that person in to teach Tom, to give him lessons. So they were building up his repertoire. They also took him to all the plays and the operas that came. So he was hearing the operas, and therefore he was improvising. Later on, he's going to be improvising on the operatic themes, which was very common for that day.
Doesn't this strike you as at all odd that they would do all of this for a small black boy?
No, because they were going to make money off of him. So I guess it's not odd.
Yeah.
You know, you had a lot of slave musicians in that day who were being used to make money for their slave owners.
So they began to put him on stage
then. Yeah, in 1857, they took him, gave his first professional concert at Columbus Temperance Hall.
Was he playing classical music?
Oh, yes. That's all he ever played, because that's what he heard.
What, was there anything else in his act?
Oh, yeah. They had, the big thrill was the so-called challenge part of his program. They had a thing where they'd bring up musicians from the audience to come up and play pieces for Tom, and he'd hear them, and there were pieces that had never been published. So they were usually by some composer, pianist, and they'd play this piece for Tom, and Tom would play it back, almost exact.
Wow.
And that was the one of the drawing cards. And he, from what all the reviews would say, he kept this up, and they would never be able to stump him. In fact, even if they'd play a wrong note, they'd do it purposely, Tom would hit the wrong note. He'd play what he heard.
Now, did he do anything other than play the piano as
yes,
part of his act?
Yes, he played flute and I think trumpet. But the main thing he also did, he would recite the speeches of people he would hear, such as the Stephen Douglas orations, the political orations. He was playing those. I mean, he'd speak those behind.
So he was able to reproduce those in the same way that he reproduced the piano.
What he heard. That was the idea.
Yeah.
And of course, then he was kind of removed from his maternal biological family and brought in as part of the Bethune household. And his life was the piano. Hmm. And he was like the little pet, you know, for the kids. And they would take him around, show him off. And pretty soon they began to travel with him.
Now, he was always known as Blind Tom. Did he have any other disabilities in addition to being blind?
Well, the one they just played up, of course. But you mean physical?
Mm-hmm.
No, I don't think so. It's just the eyesight.
Because one of the things that when you first came across him, you heard him described at was an imbecile. Which...
And that continued in a lot of the reviews.
Now, why did they call him that?
You know, they just said he was an imbecile. Well, which wasn't odd for black folks to be called imbeciles, you know.
He was even promoted, wasn't he?
Yes. See, that was part of the promotion. And I said that one of the reasons they kept saying he'd never been taught, and he was taught all his life, and had some of the top teachers. And when I found the law cases, the piano teacher in New York said he'd been with him for 9 years. But what happened was by promoting him by having never been taught, it was easier to promote him as an imbecile. Hmm. That was more money getting him that way because you left a mystery. It was the mystery part that brought in all the people.
One of the other things that was written about him, I gather, was that he would make sounds in imitation of instruments.
Of anything he heard. Animals, the railroad, the trains, and water, and after all, he did have to use his hearing to make up for his sight problem.
And he composed music as well.
Oh, yes. That's what I'm saying. The piece that I saw, the Rev Charmaine, he wrote that. I mean, they published his pieces, and he was he wrote a lot of piano pieces. Some things we'll never have because a lot of things were improvised, and those things were not written down.
Mm-hmm. Did he earn a lot of money doing this?
Oh, my God, yes. They wouldn't have fought over him like they did if it hadn't been he making money. What use would they have for a blind person, you know, who would need all this help? No, he made fortunes for the owners. You have to remember, James Bethune was a well knowledgeable political figure and a lawyer. Mm-hmm. So what he did is he had Charity and Mingo to sign an indenture for him to have Tom for 5 years.
That's Tom's mom?
Yeah, Tom's mom and father. Well, of course, as the father said later, he said, I didn't know what I was signing.
Yeah.
They couldn't read. So they signed with an X, of course. And it was the Freedmen's Bureau signed it on. So what happened, he had this giving him Tom for 5 years. Now you have to remember that a lot of the slaves had been given a lot of false information about the North. And as a result, the mother and father probably had been scared about what would happen to Tom. And he had lived all his life with the Bethunes, and he was now 16. And so the mother and father might have, you know, you don't know what was going through their mind, but they were able to trick them. And so what happened when he got this indenture paper is interesting. A black man who was a showman had heard about Tom, and he had gotten Bethune, before the war was over, to sell Tom to him for the show. And he was going to take him north, take his family, and he was going to present him.
So he put him on stage and took him
out? No, what happened is, after the war, the Bethunes retracted on that. And you got to remember, we'd had the Dred Scott, so that meant anything the black man said wasn't going to mean anything anyhow. And so when Bethune brought Tom on his concert tours after the Civil War, he took him north for the first time. And when he got to New Albany, Indiana, he is hit with those papers that he had illegally kept Tom and that Tom belonged to Tabs Gross, who was the black man, and he had papers and everything. So the court was going to give Tom to this man, and the next thing you know, Bethune had left town. And when he got to Cincinnati, Tabs Gross again hits him with the papers, and it ends up in a court case. And of course, based on those indenture papers, the judge is going to give Tom to James Bethune, saying that's what his mother and father wanted. So that's how he got him to start with. And that was the first of many.
After the war, did Tom continue to perform?
Oh, yes. He performed up until 1904.
And all over the country?
All over the country and in Europe.
But he still belonged in one form or another to the Bethune
up until
family.
1887.
Yeah.
And that was a big court case there, because what happened, his son, who was now the kind of managing Tom, had died in a train, trying to get on a train, off a train, or whatever that was. And he died in Wilmington, Delaware. And he had been married to a Miss Eliza Stutzbach, who became Mrs. Eliza Bethune. There had been some decision that he was going to divorce her. And then when he died, he left her out of the will. And that's something you don't do to women. She was a woman scorned, and she was not going to take that. So what she did is she was able to find Tom's mother and bring her to New York and had her to file for her son. She used the mother, and that thing was a big court case.
And so she eventually got...
And she got him. Because, see, what happened after the 5 years was up, Bethune went and had himself made guardian. Being a lawyer, he knew all the tricks of the trade. So Tom's life is always surrounded by legal people.
Geneva Handy Southall is the author of Blind Tom, the Black Pianist Composer Continually Enslaved. She's also Professor Emeritus of Afro-American Studies at the University of Minnesota. This is Dr. Southall's favorite Blind Tom composition, Rêve Charmant Nocturne, performed by John Davis.